Welcome, everyone. We are about to look at 7800 Wisconsin Avenue. This project is at the sketch plan phase. And so what we'll have is about a 10 to 15 minute presentation from you all, then discussion from the panel, and then we'll do a straw vote and discuss whether or not the project's on track to receive the minimum 10 public benefit points. I wanted to give staff just a moment to talk about any issues that they've had from their initial conversations with the team to frame the conversation with the panel.
I think just one thing to mention, and I'm sure the applicant team will mention it. This building occupies a great portion of one of the sites recommended for the expansion of Veterans Plaza. We met with the applicant last week and sort of talked about, you know, that it's not the only option, it is just one of the four, but I just wanted to put that in the top of everybody's mind, and I won't see any more than that. But
well, thank you, Elsa. I'll turn it over in a moment to our architect, Jad Donahoe. I work for Donahoe Companies. We're a Bethesda-based business with 1,400 employees in the area. We've done a number of projects in the county, a couple of apartment towers. One's just finishing up in the next week or two in here in Bethesda, an apartment building, and then we've worked with the county on a number of projects as well. Gallery Bethesda 1 and 2 are here in the Woodmont Triangle area, about four blocks from this site. So we are working on curb and gutter as we speak. So we're getting there. A few things just to note about the site, and then I'll turn it over to Marius from SKNI, also a Bethesda-based, Montgomery-based firm. This is a small site, as you guys all pretty intuitively grasped when you looked at these. Actually, took the time to go back and look at the stuff that's been presented to you. This is the second smallest site that you all have seen. So there are design challenges that come with that, and trying to figure out how to make a double-loaded corridor even work on a smallish property like this. As far as that goes, you know, it's that creates challenges from the standpoint of figuring out the best way to do sort of some of the alternative solutions that are identified in the Bethesda guidelines for these very small sites. This is about half the size, by the way, that used to be allowed for optional method development back when I think there was an 18,000 square foot limit. We welcome your feedback. I see that we're on the agenda as a sketch plan item. This is, as you can tell, really early massing, and we're really looking for your feedback on the way that SK and I have laid out the site and any good suggestions you can give us. We're really not at the point of trying to talk through individual points at this time, but any feedback you can give us is much appreciated. Marius?
So the first slide is the site that I'm sure you are familiar with. So this is the Veterans Plaza. It's a site Wisconsin Avenue in Norfolk, and it occupies more or less a quarter of the block. A couple of images just to create a context. That is the corner where the site is proposed.
You can also use the mouse to point if you need to.
Yeah, okay.
And do the Control L, you probably can do full screen.
So you guys have done this before, huh?
get the pad. There you go.
Thank
you. So again, that is Wisconsin Avenue in Norfolk, and that is the site that we are looking at. That's the site on this view, southbound Wisconsin Avenue on that side. And that is the far corner, which is here, is the 7-Eleven.
Union Hardware.
Looking inside Bethesda. And those are the views that we look at. It shows more detail of the site. Again, this is the triangular site of the Veterans Plaza.
And as you guys know, Marriott immediately to the south, approximately. 7820, which has visited you all approximately 314 feet tall.
And you see those
they haven't come back.
Slides.
Mm-mm.
But this one is a diagram illustrating the guidance. So basically it's an envelope that shows the setback, the base, the height of the tower, and the separation. So those are the parameters that we used to inform our massing. And this is a screenshot, if you want, of the guideline itself that describes all these requirements. So on Wisconsin Avenue, we have a 70-foot base with a 10-foot setback. On Norfolk, it's 50-foot and with a 15-foot setback. The total height, 225, it was mentioned, and we have a tower separation, 22.5 feet. And then, basically, this is a sequence of slides that shows how we start to carve the building again to get to this current massing. So, obviously, we have an extrusion that limits the height, then we want to incorporate setbacks, and then we further articulate the massing to get to this final point. It was mentioned that the challenge of the site is that it's quite small. So you may ask, is like, why don't we have a bigger setback here or there? But then if you go very deep with these setbacks, there is little room left to create a double-loaded corridor. So then you end up with a very inefficient building. And you'll see that in the next slides. You can go back any time, but just go to the floor plans. So that is the property line showing the garage. And this is the first floor plan. Wisconsin Avenue and Norfolk, we have a loading dock and the ramp going down to the parking garage. The main lobby, or the lobby, is off Wisconsin Avenue, and the corner is reserved for retail. And I think it is an appropriate place for the retail or because of the visibility, that is the place that you want activated. In the next slide, you see on the left-hand side is the base of the building. So where we go up at the property line, and then the typical tower floor plate is on the right-hand side. So as you can see on the typical floor plan, is not a lot of depth to create an efficient, or as efficient as you like, layout. Therefore, we are trying to work with the setback such that it creates the desired articulation, having a base and a top, but then preserve enough square footage so then a unit layout will work. And you see that proportionally how much the core takes. So we need at least two elevators, two stairs, and then we need to have this dedicated vestibule because the building is higher than 150 feet. So, and then we have a trash room here. Therefore, the width where we can actually place a unit, you know, is quite tight.
For you guys who are farther back, this is just shy of a 20-foot deep unit over here. Over here, this would be 28 feet, excluding the corridor. So you do have some good shallow unit conditions to deal with.
But we try to diversify, if you want, these setbacks. So then again, increase that articulation and that idea that there is a base. Go back to this. There is a base that it's its own thing, and then you have a project or a massing that develops on top of it, which is its own identity. But maybe there are elements that tie things together, like, let's say, these balconies. And then, again, to further work with the site condition, mainly actually the challenge is this massive tower at the north. We are cutting the facade and creating these niches. and that is to allow for, to have windows on the north side too. And this is the roof plan. So you can see how the building is articulated. And the base basically is on this line. And this section cuts east-west looking north. So that will be Wisconsin Avenue, and that will be the direction towards west. So, so again, this is the section looking north. The total height is 225, and then we have a penthouse, which would have mechanical and access to the roof. So residents can come to this floor and then go up on the outdoor terrace. Few views, so this is Wisconsin Avenue, and this is Norfolk, so that would be the southeast view. And it shows the setback, how we want to articulate this facade. So to again, to create its own identity for the tower, we have a slight angle on this facade. We can change the materials or the textures or a combination of the two, but to have a notion of continuum, if you want, between the two masses. Right now, we are showing these balcony lines on two facades. Again, that emphasizes the height, but then you have two distinct masses. This would be the view from Wisconsin northeast, so that is the corner of Norfolk. And this is where we created another cut to allow for separation between the buildings and allow windows on the north side. This would be the southeast facade, southwest facade. And because you are transitioning to downtown Bethesda or a different condition than Wisconsin Avenue, the building is more articulated. Has this notion of several setbacks. And then those are placeholders for what it could be. It could be support for a mural or even windows, depending on how this property gets developed. But again, the idea is here that the building transitions into a more refined or broken down scale to better match the conditions on the west.
And in the foreground of this not shown, there's currently a two-story building. People call it the Reds Trading Building. It's a used clothing store. We're picturing that could potentially be something that the county acquires in the future for a park. It's called out in two of the four alternatives for a park that Reds Trading Building would be a part of it. So then that opens up the possibility for additional fenestration on this face if that becomes county property. Otherwise, I do like the idea of a mural. Both the current property owner, David Goldberg, who's here with us, and I volunteer on the Arts and Entertainment Board. We do a lot of murals around downtown Bethesda. This could be one future location.
An aerial view, Wisconsin Avenue. Norfolk, so that will be the southeast corner. And it shows the height or the thrust of the building at the corner of Wisconsin and how it steps down and is more articulated as you go west into the neighborhood. Opposite corner, this will be the southwest. And it shows the relation to this building very well.
So that was the Design Collective building?
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I actually looked it up this morning. It came in exactly a year ago.
Yeah.
And if I recall correctly, and I think this is one of the things we need to talk about now, is tower separation. And I think that was one of the objections that we had with the adjacent building. tower separation, but I still like to go backtrack back to Veterans Park and what are the other, and I kind of pose this with the question of Parks and Planning, what are the other options out there ultimately to get Veterans Park? I mean, because it's an important part of the master plan.
Yep.
It's really an important part of the master plan. And I will give Amanda credit because she sent me this email about 2 days ago showing me all the development that's happening in Bethesda. It's in the pipeline now, a picture of every development. And if you haven't shared that with the county, you should see it, because it kind of really opened your eyes as to what the value of some open space will be in the future.
Mm-hmm. I co-chair a committee with Amanda called the Implementation Advisory Committee, and we've been very focused on getting some of those parks. You know, we're very encouraged to see the work happening there across from the old barns and buildings. And changes that will be happening to Battery Park in the near future, which is encouraging, and then the Women's Farm Market and the adjacent two lots. But there's a long way to go in order to make good on the promise of the parks in Bethesda. We did want to call out, and thank you, Elsa, for doing that. This occupies half of one of the four locations that were identified for that park. The building to the north occupies two of the four locations that have been identified for the park. So part of any conversation going forward is going to be talking with Park and Planning and trying to work with staff to figure out if we and the other property owners on the block can collectively figure out a way to get some of this additional functional park space into this area.
So does anyone have their copy of the plan with them?
Oh, you do you want to see physically where they were located?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that might help.
Page 90.
They didn't present that to us.
And the guidelines are the
guidelines.
Just once a year.
Yeah, just once a year. Mm-hmm. And then, but this is more developed than what
here
we saw. Much more developed.
I think I've seen this.
So yeah, you can see on
that
two-page spread there, there are four identifications of where the park could be.
Right.
The county council talked through it and were very clear that there is not a priority of one, two, three, or four. There are just four options, but as you can see, the one on the right is the one that it would incorporate
mm-hmm.
this site in part. It's a challenge. There's not an easy way for us to give up 100% of our land area and still have a project.
I mean, the real challenge is that this is a very small block. And you have, you know, right now two relatively large projects on a very small block. And when we met with Jed and company last week, you know, I think it, from my perspective, it's hard to sort of close down one of the options that gets graphically the most coverage, and that has a lot of potential to it in terms of meeting the master plan recommendations to connect Woodmont and Wisconsin Avenue, just to give it up forever and say, yeah, we'll find something else without, I think we encourage, as we encouraged all applicants who come in and talk about this area, to try a little harder, and that, you know, to encourage them to work together. Because it's going to be hard for any project on this block to, you know, to permanently close out one of the options. So I think, I mean, we recognize that it's very difficult. I think when the project to the north was in last time, it's been a while. I think
it's a year, exactly a year.
Yeah, and you know, I think there were discussions with, you know, trying to seeing what the department could do in terms of potentially participating in the, you know, there's PIP money. The PIP money is for acquisition of space. Could that be an option here? Maybe. There are a lot of, you know, just a small block. There are a relatively high number of property owners. And I think that's just something that we're going to need to address. I mean, it's not a very satisfactory answer, but it's kind of where we are.
But I think the message with all the with that previous project and this one is the block needs to be communicating with each other to try and
right.
come up with the best
yeah.
option. And it's been that same message from day one.
Yeah.
That's, I was gonna ask the obvious question here, Jad, and is, have you talked to the other owners on the block for an assemblage? Is that out of the possibility? It's just not gonna happen.
Make it 4 years.
4 years that David has been talking with his fellow property owners. It's a challenging block. There's five properties that are, that make up the whole of the block. And they each have different timelines, different leasehold issues, and, you know, kind of different places in their lives. You know, the north half of the block may eventually happen, but it is a challenge in that they have a 7-Eleven and a corporate 7-Eleven lease and a corporate Eagle Bank lease that pay them relatively well, as one would imagine. And they're in a very low basis. So it's a challenge to try to bring everybody who have very different attitudes and timelines all together. But we have been trying to do exactly that.
But we're,
I mean, it seems to be like a bigger, broader discussion.
That's right. This is, we're putting.
Than evaluating the design.
Mm-hmm. As little individual pieces as opposed to the whole.
Block.
We really should be talking about the whole rather than mm-hmm. individual pieces.
But that's not so what's before us, though.
Yeah, I know.
What happened to the north building? Is that stalled?
Yeah, what's the status of 7820 Wisconsin?
Also, do you want to speak to that?
I'm sorry.
They haven't officially, they filed the application, but it's not been, it's kind of been sitting there. So we haven't, it's not officially on our docket to review.
Right. It has not been accepted as complete. It's been an intake for
a year.
A year, right, because we saw it a year ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And questions arose then about setbacks and
mm-hmm.
and,
yeah, and the treatment
separation.
Of
separation.
Yeah, separation, and we talked about the park,
mm-hmm.
and if the park were there, it's a whole different discussion.
Yeah.
Well, we sort of assumed the park would be there at
yeah.
that time,
right.
as when we left it.
Right. We were hoping.
I mean, if to be honest, I was talk about a preference. The preference would be obviously the option here in the corner for this to be the park.
Yeah.
Not the other ones, because it makes a connection from Wisconsin back to Norton.
Right. I mean,
which one?
This one, yeah, which is where that building is, right here.
That's all the way across the back
mm-hmm.
site. That's all on Wisconsin. So.
And that was one of the options we suggested.
Right, exactly.
Are you talking this one?
No, we're talking.
Is that the one you're?
Is this which one is?
This one links from Wisconsin to.
Oh yeah,
that's the one.
No,
yeah, this is
the one you're talking about. Actually, yeah. Right across the west
yeah.
side.
Yeah. Right, this is the one, which would support that building with windows, because it would all be a park.
Right.
This one takes this building and flips it that way.
I'm sorry, I pointed to the wrong.
Yeah, but it's still. Either one is preferred. I know that sounds like a conflict, but either one of those would be very good. But the idea of trying to evaluate this building, knowing that that building is still on the table, is
yep.
very difficult, because then we have to have tower separation. We have a whole series of discussions.
And then you're not talking about the park.
Yeah, we're not talking about the park. Yeah.
And it's a challenge. I mean, you have two projects,
yeah.
neither of which have any vested approvals.
Right.
But, you know, obviously one of the things is going to be figure out, is there a tower separation preferred here, or does it make sense in this very small block? It's approximately 200 foot by 200 foot square. Does it make sense if both buildings can design to a party wall condition, which is called out in the design guidelines as one possible solution for smaller sites, which this, by any measure, is.
But another point is yeah. your FAR right now is almost 15.7, right?
If you're counting on the lot area rather than the gross tract area,
right.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
that's
right there, yeah. but the map FAR is what, 3?
Yes. Yeah, so we made a couple, it's a 22-story building, and we made a couple choices, like not to include above-grade parking. I know that's not something that people generally prefer from a design aesthetic point of view. So we are going below grade, which means we have more height that can be used for production.
productive animating uses rather than parking. But that means a higher FAR.
But half of the FAR is the core, actually.
And the circulation.
Well, there's no way we can support this project without the separation.
Devil's eye. I mean, as Jad was suggesting, you could allow both of these projects to go forward. If we like the design, then you'd still, that would still preserve option three for the park, right? Correct?
Option three.
Which is
expanding
the triangle.
Just expanding the triangle.
Yeah, you have to cut it off.
And that would be more park that would be adjacent to the existing park rather than across Woodlawn Avenue.
The challenge with sector plans countywide is that at the time of the sector plan, there are all these great amenities and everybody gets very excited about them. But you know, the amenities are implemented piecemeal. And you know, one of the traps that the board has been working very hard to avoid is, well, I'm just doing this little piece here and I'm just gonna do this little piece here. And then in a year, you don't have room to do, there's no room for the big amenity and it never comes and there's all this development and no amenities. And I think, you know, I mean, this is, you know, if this block were, you know, twice as long and there was room in the town for more than one building, but I think, you know, I mean, this is really a block that wants, I mean, it's kind of a one building block. I mean, it wants really kind of one building and a park, and call it a day.
Right. Yep.
I mean, you know, like if you get this in architecture school, that's what you would do. Right. And that's not where we are because of the thing that I think, you know, if projects are having trouble getting entitled, then I think that has an impact on the business negotiations moving forward. And I think, you know, the DAP and staff and the board have to make decisions about, you know, maybe we wait a little bit rather than close off options.
Right.
Oh, I agree.
So that, you know, that's certainly a conversation that we'd have to have in more depth with planning to try to figure out ways to solve for park space potentially within this block or across the street. You know, you've got two projects that would like to potentially move forward. One has not been moving. Neither have any entitlements. I would suggest that at least from an architecture standpoint, that both should be on an equal footing. And both should be reviewed as potential.
The other one?
Potential projects on this block. And if you feel this project for some reason can't move forward, you know, I would say certainly the other project can't move forward either. And maybe there has to be more discussion on that. But to the extent you all are willing to weigh in on the design decisions and the solutions that are presented here within this one property, we'd really appreciate your input.
I'm going to ask a very naive question. We had this project maybe 2 months ago. There's three developers has joint venture of develop this site adjacent to Elm Street Park. Would that be an option through a joint effort?
I think they're calling it Bethesda Market, the Woodlands Farm Market.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an interesting case where the Bethesda plan specifically offered additional height and thus additional density to two nearby properties in order to take on the project mm-hmm. of redoing the Women's Farm Market. I think that's really neat. There was no mechanism offered as part of this block. No one was offered additional height to provide this park. There was no specific way to solve for it. And what you have are small property owners who have the height to redevelop, who are looking to figure out they can do that. So we weren't, the answer I guess is we weren't offered that mechanism.
But
the North End was offered the mechanism of additional affordable housing for the increased height.
That's why their building is taller, because they had 25 percent.
Yeah, they had an additional 64 feet in height for going from 15% to 25%.
Right.
You guys have also reviewed a project called the Artana. I believe it's 7,900.
They did
7,950 or whatever. Who also opted to do the 25%
affordable
housing. It didn't require any specific extra subsidy to do it.
Right.
So that I found that interesting.
Just to follow up on Chadwick's
point though, is there value in coming in with a joint sketch plan like the Bethesda Market project for multiple projects on this block, and then those projects can come in separately for preliminary plan, site plan, which is what they're planning on doing, as I understand it.
But they also work as a group,
together
collaboratively.
On the design.
Yes.
Right. Or co-development.
I don't know how that still gets the park here, but it's just it's a.
But you could do co-development of the entire block and, right. say, put the building along Wisconsin and leave the west side for the park.
Which is what,
so it would be one project
which
instead of three projects.
Yeah, which is this.
You're saying one
which
building?
Is
which is that
yes.
option.
Yeah.
But I don't think that works. As far as I understand from the neighbors, that doesn't work because that they still need to be separate buildings.
No, no.
Make one building.
One building.
Co-development.
Mm-hmm.
Co-development. That's
yeah, co-development.
Hmm?
They said there's no mechanism of.
It's not possible
yeah,
development.
I
mean,
I think everybody's getting backed into a corner and
right.
trying without a concrete plan as to how Veterans Park can materialize. I think there's so much development coming down the pipeline that
right.
you know these open spaces are really important to the success of Bethesda.
Mm-hmm.
Is the county willing to step up and buy the property?
Sorry, what was that?
Or contrary to that, are there incentives that will allow a project on half the site to go significantly higher and offset the cost of consolidating enough property for the open space we're talking about? I mean, realistically, it's got to be one or the other.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't.
You know, sitting here and saying, you know, you guys can't go forward, on what basis?
Right.
I mean, from my standpoint, you know, you are entitled to put forth your project, and by the way, entitled to a review from us also, I think. But it's a bigger picture than
us.
Than solved in this room.
Yeah.
Well, and
I mean, it's
to
not
that
really
end,
us.
I just wanted to ask if you had to do the 22.5 tower separation setback, which the design guidelines call for, it looks to me from your plans like you would lose one unit per floor.
You would lose approximately 1,200 square feet per floor.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the floor plans, you would definitely lose the unit in the northeast corner of the site, and you would reduce the size of the unit in the northwest corner.
I think about probably 18,000 square feet of that.
You need to move the stair?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think this is probably 22.5. The depth of the unit in the northeast corner is probably at least 22.5. Is that accurate or?
But regardless, I mean the units are dotted lines at this point.
Right.
But,
so I'm saying if you have to pull back 22.5 on floors 7 through 22,
you lose 1.5 units.
Right. You'd have the northeast unit, the long, skinny one would be
you
gone.
You lose that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then you'd have the other unit would be smaller, but it would still be a viable unit. So basically, the bottom line is to meet the design guidelines, you would lose 15 or 16 units, one on each floor between 7 and 22.
Although, of course, there's specifically written into the plan the flexibility of alternative methods for small sites, and this is
yes.
second smallest site that you all have seen. It's probably the second smallest optional method development site.
Maybe as a mitigating mechanism, you give up some of the setback on Norfolk Avenue to gain some space to get that tower separation.
Mm-hmm.
But that wouldn't.
So you're still going to lose some.
Yeah, we're going to lose.
We are implying that possibly a separation by cutting the building.
Yeah, no, we understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
cutting that
mm-hmm.
on both ends.
Yeah, recognize that one of our criticisms of the property as well was the lock and tower separation.
That's right.
That's one of the things we challenged them with.
Right.
whole block, 200 feet, is shorter than some of those projects.
Understood.
Interestingly, the option for the park along the north-south axis behind the building would have a 200-foot tower along Wisconsin Avenue unbroken. I mean, I agree with Chad that this is a small site that probably I sound like a broken record, but it's one of those instances where separation of towers on this particular block is probably a little strange from an urban design standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it meets the criteria or not, as opposed to 8,000, which we just talked about this morning, which clearly should have been broken, but yeah, can't be because of extenuating circumstances.
Yeah, I think if you look at this, for instance, if I look at this image, you know, of the last project and just the view, it seems to me that on this block, you'd either have the tower like that, one, or you'd have a tower like that,
right,
one.
No, there's no question about that.
Right.
If you're going to have a park.
Yeah.
Which is that.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's a mechanism to take that property.
Yep.
Well, that's why the park either this way or this way makes total sense.
Yep.
And one development or one development.
Yep.
Marriages should
be
made.
I only mentioned that because from an urban design standpoint, it really doesn't make any difference whether it's two buildings or one.
Right.
200 feet is the right length.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
In my house.
Yes. And if even if it was one building, you'd be breaking that 200 up somehow with the facades or whatever.
Yeah, but not
right.
45.
Not a gap. No.
Articulation is one thing. Building separation is something totally different.
Yeah.
We seem stymied, don't we?
Well, it seems to me that the public sector has to step up and make an evaluation about where they want this park, and they have to make it happen. It can't just be in limbo and be pushed aside, you know, every time, you know, every project that comes up, you know, oh, well, we'll wait about that, we'll worry about that, you know, later, et cetera. And either of these two park situations, this one is the stronger of the ones because it has the connection. And we support that,
mm-hmm.
and therefore you'd have less frontage on Wisconsin, and the building would be running, you know, east-west as opposed to north-south,
right.
As opposed to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Carl, that being said, I do believe our parks acquisition team did reach out to the property owners here. Mm-hmm. I may be completely mistaken on that, but at least that was the direction that I understood. I have no idea what the conversation was. So, I mean, I think we were serious about, you know, trying to look at all the options here, two of which are more linear in nature, that were really intended to connect kind of the East Bethesda part to veterans. And then one was geared more towards the expansion of kind of veterans park proper.
Right, right.
So, again, I don't know what those discussions were, but we can definitely relay the message to parks in terms of and the county as a whole to work, you know, with the owners of this block.
Right.
But I think the owners have to kind of play ball to come in with a project that's going to implement one or the other, or one of the three.
Yeah. Particularly since they're getting all these bonuses, et cetera, for height and bulk and
but I don't think this site itself, which is what I...
Yeah.
Is not really getting the same bonus that
it's not.
The site to the north is.
Exactly.
In terms of height for affordable housing. But,
right.
But if it were all one piece or one site, then I think that's a different discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But this could get that same treatment if they apply for it, correct? We haven't really explored that thing as to whether or not, because it's very specific in the master plan about the two sites to the north, I think. The 7-Eleven and the Eagle Bank site,
mm-hmm.
that got the additional height for the MPUs. I think this was excluded from that, as was the Connolly. Am I right?
Yes,
as was the Connolly piece. So, but then again, you know, I don't know that was vision as one large project or one project at a time.
So I, again, we have not had that discussion, and it's something that we probably need to explore further.
I think it's a challenge for planning staff.
Yeah.
You've got a planning book that says we'd like a park on one of four locations. This is one of the four. But there is no mechanism built into the plan for this particular site as to how you're going to get that, how you're going to offer additional height or density to other properties in order to incentivize it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that, you know, certainly we and the other property owners in the block should be talking with planning about.
Sure.
Trying to figure it out if we can solve it for them.
Set something up.
Well, the big issue is that you've been given the right to develop larger buildings without the quid pro quo of having to
county
earn it.
And county investment.
That's right.
Well, I want to step in on that. I want to remind everyone, well, how much density would you need from the Bethesda overlay zone pool of density to do the project that you've presented today? Do you know?
It would be approximately 110,000,
mm-hmm.
give or take one.
So what I want to be, again, very clear about is, in this whole Bethesda overlay zone process, we set up a process where there was a maximum height and where there is a lot of discretion about whether to assign density from the Bethesda overlay zone pool. It is not a given. It is not a guarantee that density will be assigned from the pool. In order to earn that density, to quote unquote earn that density, you have to go through this design process and meet the design guidelines.
But of course,
and
one of the guidelines is not provision of 100% of your property for park space.
No, I understand that, but I'm talking about, you know, I'm back to the tower separation issue. I mean, you have to, so I just want to be clear that on all of these projects, there is no guarantee that you get to fill up the entire
mm-hmm.
height that the master plan demonstrated. It's all about a qualitative review and a qualitative process. I don't disagree that the public needs to step in and take a look at what we can do in terms of the park in this location. I want to, before we, you know, beat up on the public, meaning us or the Parks Department too much, I do want to say I feel we have been working hard to meet the goals of the plan in terms of going ahead and acquiring the property across from what used to be Barnes & Noble, now is Anthropology, working, as everyone knows, on trying to find some solutions related to the Bethesda Farm Women's Market. That's, you know, two of the three big open spaces that were discussed in the plan. This is the third one. And, you know, to be honest, we didn't know if this project was going to come forward. We knew about the project at the 7-Eleven, but now that we're aware that you all are looking at coming forward sooner rather than later, it could have been 50 years before this project came forward. We don't control that. Now that we know that, I think we should sit down and probably have all of the parties together in a room with our park staff, with our planning staff, and talk about what can be worked out.
I think on these properties, there should have been a connection between the park and the bonuses, as opposed to setbacks and the general rules for other sites. So if that had been a clear connection between these small blocks and the desire to have this park, then all bonuses would be keyed to the development of that park so that the private sector would pay for it because they're getting the bonuses.
Mm-hmm.
But because the plan is written in such a way that we have this sort of general idea about setbacks and separations, that's not really appropriate for this site. What's appropriate for this site is that if you want to develop this site, you've got to put in money to buy the land to have the park.
So that's what the park impact payment is.
Right.
And yes, and people will have to put in money, but it's not just a matter of putting in the money. You have to have a willing seller. You can't just say.
Yeah, no, I understand.
You know, all the money in the world. Yeah, you have to have a willing seller.
And there's a discussion, and sort of the portion of the discussion, and I mean, and when we met with Jad and DM, I said the same thing. It's good to know that there's that much more interest, and then that helps us get everybody at the table and start the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So we accept that charge.
Good.
Yeah.
I'll be back to you in a week.
Right. Exactly.
Can I just ask for the group's opinion? You know, there was another solution that isn't being discussed at all, which was to literally extend Veterans Park on the same block. There's always a little bit of a problem when a park jumps a street, right? And so the solutions we've been talking about on this block is where the park jumps a street. But there was a solution in the plan that talked about the taking down, I guess, some of those one-story properties that face the current Veterans Park and extending Veterans Park as a bigger triangle. And I'm interested in just your thoughts about that.
Are those, does anyone know those shops on that kind of front Veterans Park right now, are they single ownership? Or is it multiple ownership?
There's one that fronts half of the park, the one on the to the south. I don't know, maybe we can find out how to go to a better map. But this one that occupies about half of that space is actually a little office building. Oh, yeah, go back to that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, so this here, that one big white roof, these are all small properties, so big is relative, but is an office building with a wall facing the park and does not have any retail in it. These two are inline little retailers, which are, frankly, I think a little bit of an amenity. But if you could acquire this this office building, that would double the effective usable area.
But then that would expose the Landau building side to it, which is
this corner here, George. Yeah.
I'm talking about if you took them all and incorporated them into the
right building.
Yeah, then you would have a big building facing the park rather than the small, you know, lower scale buildings.
And hopefully the Landau's could reconfigure their building so that it would
have some retail or something facing the park. Yeah.
Which I've worked on that enough to that could happen, I think.
No, I was just curious as to what you thought about that as an option.
In my personal opinion, having thought about this for about 20 years, I think the larger single park would be a far better solution.
I would agree with that.
And, you know, connecting Wisconsin Avenue to Norfolk, connecting East Bethesda into
the neighborhood.
Neighborhood. Right. I think it's something will glue Bethesda together and continue changing Wisconsin Avenue from a highway through the town to a city street.
Yeah, that had been actually our first, option.
You clearly supported that.
Along the south side of the block. Creating that connection from Wisconsin into Veterans Park. We sort of acknowledge that jumping the street then to get into Veterans Plaza wasn't as optimal. You know, there are times perhaps when you could close off Woodmont and make it all for festivals, you know, make it all one space that flows through. But, you know, I don't have, you know, like it should be this way, it should be that way. I'm just interested in the panel's perspective on it because the three or four options that were in the plan, I think each have certain pros and cons. And if the government's gonna go out and like start trying to acquire land, I wanna make sure we're working on acquiring the right land.
Right land, yeah, exactly. And it might be, you know, another question that comes up is which one is less costly?
Well, that's also.
Cause that would weigh into my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Norfolk is gonna, I don't, as I said on the women's market, I mean, I think streets are connecting, the things that really connect parcels within.
Yes.
The urban core, and just because a park is on that corner, the access to the rest of Veterans Park is still gonna be the sidewalk on Norfolk. It's not, you're not gonna cross Woodmont from the two parks directly. So I'm not seeing a huge advantage. I think it's the size of the park area that may be the most important. That's just, you know, and Woodmont is not just the street. It's a highway.
It's a busy street.
It's a busy street. If you have to cross, I mean, it's almost like crossing Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that what is lacking in this area is a larger space, and that's why I would suggest that the triangle expansion would probably be better. I think if the sidewalk along Norfolk and what is it, Cheltenham, if that gets expanded so that you actually do have a wider connection all the way from the west side over to the park on the east, that'd be pretty nice. I mean, that would kind of stitch that back together, but does it need to be a park? No. Or could it just be a, you know, a nice promenade? That, you know.
That's the way I think.
Yeah.
It currently is one of the widest sidewalks that are in the area,
mm-hmm.
at its current stage.
I think it's an 80-foot right of way. There is the possibility for being more creative than just have parking and traffic lanes on it.
Mm-hmm.
There would be the possibility to take that sidewalk curve out into the street more.
I was gonna say the street width could actually be adjusted to a certain degree. If needed. Spring Street.
Can I ask a clarifying question about the party wall? I don't mean sidebar, but I wasn't quite clear on where you're coming out on the party wall. The issue there is what the resolution was.
Adjacent to the other proposed building,
yeah.
North?
Yeah. Is the party wall okay, or is that a problem?
No. It doesn't meet the
guidelines. It doesn't meet the guidelines about the tower separations.
I mean, I think very, again, speaking somewhat bluntly, the other project at 8000 Wisconsin, I don't think anyone is really very happy with the fact that you're going to have sort of a wall. They've tried to do things to sort of notch the building and to make some changes, but tower separation is really a very important part of the whole vision for Wisconsin Avenue. The goal was not to have a 200-foot tall wall of buildings along Wisconsin. It really was important to have individual towers. But this, what makes it hard is multiple ownerships. It's a little bit like the project on St. Elmo's, where we also struggled with this, where you have very, very narrow building lots with different owners, and those party walls are, the first go-to idea. But the tower separation is a very important part of the plan.
So is there a guideline as to how wide the building has to be before you have to have a separation, is the question?
No. There is a guideline saying what the separation should be, but
right.
saying that there may be flexibility in the case of small sites,
yes.
which is what this applicant is arguing.
Right.
That this is a small site.
Exactly. It says buildings below 120 feet or with limited property size with depth may reduce tower separation or consider party walls. Party walls are necessary, mitigate their visual impact with elements such as public art, lighting, texture, and or patterning that provides visual interest and are appropriate to the context and architecture of the building. And that's under alternative treatments for separation.
Like if it was a joint site plan with the neighboring property, that would be a different matter. In fact, there's two separate site plans is the problem.
Right.
And I would say that if this project were to go ahead ultimately, and the other project has not received site plan approval.
Boy, that other one is.
We've got to reopen that box completely.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that project, you know, you're eventually going to see it again when it activates again, and it
how
hasn't
far did it
been
get?
Blessed on anything. It has nothing.
It didn't go through schedule.
So that's
yeah.
fine, yeah.
It has nothing.
That's
right,
my point.
We, it was just like a point of information.
Yeah, it has nothing at this point. It has no,
okay.
no approvals.
And
so.
This was that concept plan, right?
Uh-huh.
Today.
This is that concept.
Right, yeah,
really
a concept.
This
yeah.
is sort of
yeah.
pre-concept. There's
right.
no application.
Yeah, no application.
Yeah.
There's nothing filed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
which is the best.
That's why we're just discussing all this.
Thank you for coming in
yeah.
at this point. This is the best way to have the discussion is at concept before a whole building is designed.
But where you were going before, though, on the party wall, you were trying to shrink that party wall. You were saying you might lose a unit or something like that. You were
so that would give you the tower
separation. It would give you the tower
separation
by not having a party wall.
Yeah, that would mean no party wall.
No party wall at all.
I was asking if you actually met the guidelines and did the tower separation,
yes.
what would the implication be?
Okay.
And the implication would be that you would lose a unit on each floor between the 7th and the 22nd.
All right. And so the guidelines say then what about if you did have to have a separation, what is
22.5.
25 feet to 60 feet
total
is the recommended. And then for each party, I mean, each property, then it would be half of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we'd be saying to the other project.
You have to set back.
On the 7-Eleven site, you
right.
also have to set back 22.5 feet.
Sure.
Right.
So you'd have a base of 7 stories or 6 stories or whatever, and you have two towers with 45 feet between them.
All right, so you could have a party wall up to a certain level.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Above that, you'd want to. So what is that? Is that 100 feet? What would be?
It's 70. Recommended at 70,
70
feet for that street type.
For the base
type.
70 feet, there would be a party wall for that base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then above that, you'd have your 20.
You'd have a tower separation of 22.5 or above.
45 total.
45
mm-hmm.
total.
Yeah, but I think we do recognize, and that's a good point, that at the base, you actually do want
you
a
want
consistent
continuity.
Base.
Right.
It's at the higher levels that's
okay.
the issue.
One reason which is to get light and air into Wisconsin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sympathetic to Jad's condition where he doesn't have enough building to work
right.
with.
Right. That's the rub.
Have these skinny buildings with
yep.
these
mm-hmm.
setbacks that don't necessarily work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is,
that's
again,
exactly.
this whole block is
yeah.
smaller than 7,900 Wisconsin
mm-hmm.
or 8,000
exactly.
Wisconsin
yeah.
or any of these.
What is your facade there on Wisconsin, Jen?
It's approximately 100 feet. It's approximately half of this 200-foot face on Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, if you get a place like Toronto, you can see that this is actually a big footprint.
You get the scissor stairs and
yeah.
elevators that go right into the hallway with
yeah.
no...
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Scissor stairs is the answer.
Okay. Works in Vancouver.
Been there.
Yeah. It works in New York.
So I think the bottom line is the ballpark is back a little bit in our, you know, on our side of the court to try to pull some
marriages
larger meeting together.
That's right.
I think marriage.
It may take more than.
So is the gist of
the divorce
is the gist of the committee that you know you would encourage all the property owners on this block to enter mediation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And you'll do much better together than you will apart.
None of these properties should proceed until there is at least further give and take with planning.
Yeah.
Well, again, I think part of the reason why the 7-Eleven property is not going ahead is because we pushed back pretty hard on that for similar reasons. It may not be the only motivation, but we're critical of that project.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think everybody should be in the same room discussing and agreeing on a plan that's going to be suitable for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I own
yeah.
the little building that's budding between everything in there, and it's fairly new building that I built.
Is that right
that
here?
Building.
Yeah.
Oh, you got the key.
So I want to know how this whole thing is going to impact me eventually. And it's important that everybody knows what's going on before anything happens. And maybe working together, we can accomplish a beautiful project.
Yep.
Sounds great.
So we need to get your name.
Sounds like a plan.
I've got it, isn't it?
Sounds like a plan. No, I feel sort of sorry for you. This hiccup, as they say, where there was not a clear idea about the whole block being developed with the park as an idea with it, so that, you know, the marriages could have been made, you know, sooner rather than later. Because it's a small block. There's a lot of pressures on it, and the whole idea of the master plan with this connecting Wisconsin to Norfolk, I mean to Woodland, Woodmont, makes the most sense to me. Mm-hmm. I disagree with you that just expanding that is the right move. I think going from Wisconsin to Woodmont with the open space is
I'm in for a favorable option four as well.
Yeah, I think
connecting the main streets.
Kind of curiosity, is there history on linear parks and trying to achieve the goals that you are, that we can better predict the success of expanding Veterans versus this linear things? Is there history around, whether it is in this town or other towns, that we can perhaps better assess as opposed to, hey, I like this and you like that? I'm just curious.
You mean precedent?
Mm-hmm.
Precedent.
Yeah, precedent. Somewhere.
One would be Bryant Park in New York City.
Right.
Bryant Park is a block street. It they developed it 20, 30 years ago and becomes like a destination.
So if you just expand the triangle, then all you're doing is expanding the triangle. Here you're connecting Wisconsin and Woodmont, and you have frontages on both sides, and it's about flow, and it's about, you know, getting people off Wisconsin into, you know, Bethesda. If you're just expanding the triangular park, it's nice, but it's a different philosophy.
There
it's
is
a different
a,
idea.
What does the committee think? We started to talk about Norfolk Ave, this block. What does the committee think about creating a wider, greener sidewalk, get rid of some of the parking along that street, and use that to kind of create kind of a narrow but more visible access point?
It's a pathway at that time.
Yeah.
It's not a park.
It's not a park. But
yeah,
it's
I think that you still need a park.
I was more intrigued because it's my understanding 4 years ago in some of the discussions that it's been noted that Wisconsin Avenue is not really a very activated street with a lot of pedestrians by comparison to Woodmont. So if you create this linear bridge, to what end? Because if Wisconsin itself is not that active, which is just weird that our main street is not our main walking pedestrian street by comparison to Woodmont and Norfolk.
But that's not necessarily. I would give you one specific example and one general example of linear parks and how they've worked actually well. The Canal Park in D.C. on the backside of Capitol Hill, which is that M, or what's the street that the
M's on the south side.
Yeah, on the south side. That's a linear park that comes from very, very active street into the neighborhood and kind of. It's being developed now, you know, on the sides. But I think that's a very good example of how a linear park kind of brings people into a neighborhood. Portland, Oregon, is a city that's absolutely totally designed around linear parks. I mean, there's linear parks throughout that city, and have all been used as sort of strong connections.
I'm sure there's examples where it works. I also assume there's going to be examples where it doesn't work.
Well,
I don't think we can come up.
And I think the point is that this park won't work at all unless it's very integral to a larger network, you know, of well-designed streets and other parks. And so I think anywhere that's the only way that those can be successful. The hope is here is that would be part of it, because once you know, you link it to Norfolk and you link it to some of the other spaces that are going to be happening, you know, there's a lot of potential here, I think, for it work to work very well.
Well, I think the takeaway,
I'm sorry, David.
I think the takeaway is that, like, I also prefer option four, this linear park, but I wouldn't preclude anything. I think it's up to the development team to kind of look at and see what makes the most sense from a variety of scenarios and then come back and propose that to us. I definitely don't preclude any of these options and say that it has to be a linear park.
I will say, you know, we've been talking on and off. David, the prop who owns this property, has been talking for longer, but Donahoe has been talking for a year and a half on and off with the other property owners in the block. We haven't made the progress to try to bring the whole block together, which I agree is the way you make a clean project,
right,
with a clean, you know, green space brought to this area. I think frankly, you know, I'm glad Miles is not here so we can talk about it. I think, you know, it's great that Elsa is willing to take on the challenge of trying to bring everybody together. But I think we also have to be prepared for,
what if,
you know, the what if of, what if this corner wants to develop and the other properties are on a different timeline. I don't know that it's necessarily appropriate for any group to say nobody can develop any of their properties until,
right,
someone owns,
yeah,
up a park.
I mean, that's what I was going to say, Ari. It sounds like you guys are still figuring this out, but you're not pressing us for an action right now, but you have that option to do that.
Well,
do you need feedback on that?
We appreciate you guys weighing in on architecture, because we would like to move forward. This is a viable project on its own. It's sized nicely for a condominium, and there is a limited amount of condominium as opposed to rental size projects in your pipeline here in Bethesda. So we believe in the site, and we think we would like to forward, but we didn't want to go far, far down the path and say this is it. We want to hear feedback on the specifics of massing and how we can make this site work best.
Yeah, I'll come to Jed with that. We're working on a very similar project in 7000 Wisconsin. We tried for a year to work with our neighbor, and we could not get there. It set us back an entire year, and we're proceeding independently. So all the great ideas in the world can't pull property owners together that don't want to get pulled together. And so I'm totally sympathetic with what Chad's going through.
And Robert would be able to tell you that that Donahoe has worked on a project that took years, the Gallery of Bethesda 1 and 2,
yeah,
got a lot of good feedback from planning,
right,
staff. It involved us going out and acquiring additional properties and being able to create a new pedestrian street between the two towers, take one tower and turn it into two. It's just you gotta find a buyer and a seller willing to work together, and it's been a challenge on this block.
It's only money. That's all it is.
All right. Are there any other panel comments at this point? I wanted to get some public comment.
So I just wanted to speak because I live a couple blocks down in East Bethesda, down Cheltenham, and I just wanted to stress the importance of this block being a connection between the neighborhood and between Woodmont Triangle, but also between, like, looking forward into the future, how is this going to behave? And you think about the size of the Marriott project coming directly to the south, which ironically, when they first submitted their rendering, they showed a park right there. And we pointed out, well, you don't own that property. You know, it's in the plan, but it's not a guaranteed, you know, part of your project. Your Marriott is gonna have, just if you zoom out to the big picture, Marriott is gonna have the current public garage that's on Woodmont. The next, sorry, go back to the, so during the day, the closest public garage is across the street, across Wisconsin at Cheltenham under the Whitney.
Right here.
So that's where we're assuming a lot of the parking is gonna be going. And so you have this being an important vehicle connection, important pedestrian connection, because it's signaled right there. It's an important bike connection, actually. That's going to be one of the main linkages from the neighborhood over to the Woodmont Trail.
And so I think that needs to be considered, just more thinking into the future, what's happening with all the properties in the area. That this whole strip is facing like intensive development, and so far very little green space happening. Wait, I just made a note, sorry. I just feel like any development that's gonna go forward here, if it's gonna be approved, there has to be a path forward for the park to alongside it. However it works out, it can't be piecemeal. It has to be presented as once, because this truly was one of the main green spaces promised for this area. So I feel like there'll be a little bit of a revolt if all we see is the development and no plan for the park. However that looks like. My personal preference is the east-west along Norfolk Park, but I understand why that could be difficult with this project.
Do you think the community would be interested in, if in addition to one of these other sites we're talking about, the Reds, the little office building adjacent to the park, that we did something to expand Norfolk Avenue, create 25-plus-foot sidewalk that has
so
creates more visibility,
yeah,
and openness?
So currently there's a 20-foot sidewalk, I believe, on the north side of Norfolk, is that right?
I'm thinking
it's
around
one of
numbers if you took out a lane of parking.
So if you took out a lane of parking, 30. So right now it's low rise, so it feels, this is gonna feel like a canyon, even with a 20-foot sidewalk there. It's, you're gonna feel between Marriott and these buildings, and you're gonna have canyons certain places. But I do think you can take out the parking, but you have a bike lane going in there, and you're gonna have a lot more traffic with Marriott. And already it's one of these short blocks where it's backing up right now, totally backs up. So I don't know that making it more narrow is gonna be a solution for that particular block, especially if you're talking about having your delivery and your parking access on Norfolk. You know, that's more. So I don't know what the solution is here, but I'm glad to hear that all these things are being talked about now, and that it's gonna, you know, the conversation is gonna continue. So,
is there any other public comment before we wrap up? Okay, so it sounds like from staff, what we would like to do is encourage everyone to get into the same room before the project proceeds to talk about these major issues of where the park is gonna be located and how the entire block will be designed. So we're not going to have a straw vote today. We'll just have this project come back to all when it actually comes for sketch plan application, when it's actually submitted. So are there any other thoughts before we wrap up?
Just clarification, when you say get everyone together,
mm-hmm.
Who's the everyone?
So all the property owners on the block, the parks department, the planning department, and I don't know if we'll have to have DOT if we want to talk about street design.
Maybe. I'm sure we can invite them.
Okay. So those would be the parties. All right.
Yep.
Thank you all for your input.